Monkeys, my man, my boy Monkeys, Banana Monkeys. Dude, it's been a long time, dude. It's been a long time. Welcome back to anyone who hasn't been here or doesn't know what the fuck's going on. This is the Banana Slam Jaren podcast. We were doing it pretty consistently before DPC, but you know, I was casting, he was owning some fucking noobs in Division 2, and we were a bit busy. So, how you doing, Monkeys?
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
Can you tone down the energy levels just a bit, Monkeys?
Dude,
you're a little too much, man.
I literally just woke up from a nap. I set an alarm this time, so I would actually remember to do it. I'm allowed to be a bit more.
His mic is kind of low. Let me turn you up, Monkeys. Here we go. Let me turn you up. You were at 69%. That wasn't intentional.
I got a new headset because my last headset was being way too wild with it. Like, it would randomly increase my volume by like 200% apparently. So like, I just got a new one.
yeah, you know, technology things of the matter. So, you know, we had a lot of things we could probably talk about, but first and foremost, you know, how's the team atmosphere? You guys went 7-0, you know, you guys are chilling. Are you guys taking a break at all? But you said you had 10 hours of stuff yesterday. So you guys going to be more than normal or what?
Yeah, no break real. I mean, we took a mini break because of the snowstorm that hit Texas, because Z-Freak is living there, and he just completely lost internet for like five plus days or something like that. So we had a bit of a break, like, or a bit of a forced break. but after he started getting his power and internet back, we just kind of hopped back onto the grind and, you know, kept on going.
Nice. So when are you guys feeling like you're gonna hit your final form? You know, how's the progress going?
I mean, we still have a lot of kinks to work out in our play. I honestly would not say that we're entirely ready for Division 1 yet. I would like to say that we're there, but I don't know. We have a few like concepts that we still have to get correct before we're actually able to take games off of like the better teams, because I think we just play way too slow right now, and it's not it's not good.
Yeah, there's like two different ways to mess up in Dota, right? I do a lot of coaching, so it's like you either just do the wrong things or you do the right things too slow, you know? I know that feeling. I feel like a lot of times when I see Division 2 Dota compared to Division 1 Dota, it's a lot of the same stuff. It's just, you know, it takes an extra 30 seconds to get the same, you know, push all three lanes, smoke gank play going in Division 2 than it does in Division 1. But yeah, so that's a big part of it. Everyone doesn't really realize Dota's like a race. You know, you're just racing to who can get the most farm and net worth and all that kind of crap, and team that does it faster wins.
Also, BSJ, I can't see you, man, so I can't react to like,
oh my god, Monkeys, I forgot. Let me share my screen real quick, buddy. Sorry, buddy.
I can't really react to your facial expressions.
I know I never fucked this shit up, but I for the first time ever, but you can see me now, right?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, cool. Sorry guys, you know, it's a little weird to have a conversation where I'm looking straight into his eyes and he can't even see that I'm doing that. But so that's how your team's doing. You know, are you gonna ask me how I'm doing, Monkeys?
How are you doing? I literally asked you how you were doing, BSJ, and you started asking me questions.
Fair enough. That's fair. Oh, you did do that. But we can always delete that part of the VOD if anyone sides with you. But no, it was a little weird, man. Casting DPC from remote was not particularly my cup of tea. I'll just be honest. It feels like you're like over here, and then everyone else that's casting is over here. I know that's how it literally is, but it feels that way too. And it's nothing that I feel like anyone can do anything about. It was kind of like an awkward scenario. It wasn't obviously intended when I got rejected from entry to Europe at the start. But at the end of the day, made the best of it. Got to have my own home broadcast studio. Didn't have the healthiest life habits for the duration of that. You know, working like 35 hours of casting and usually decent amount of streaming hours. So yeah. I do have my pseudo workout regimen back online, so I don't feel like complete dog shit. And the cool thing about it, okay, so people at home are gonna say, BSJ, you're a little fucking whiner. Okay, that's what they're gonna say. That's what they're gonna say. I know you guys, by the way. But what I am gonna say is that I never operate with an alarm. Like, the whole beauty of our job is that I stay up until like 4 a.m. and then I just wake up at some point. You know, I wake up at like noon, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. But with the whole casting thing, I had to wake up at like 9 a.m. or like 8:30 in the morning every single day. And that just fucked me up, man. The quality of life of that was not where I'm looking for. You know, obviously I'm like, I gotta do it. It's my job. I got hired for this shit. No complaints there. But just because I'm not complaining about it doesn't mean I like it, you know? So that was a little weird. And I did the best part of the last 3 days. I think I've slept like 10 hours a day, dude. I've slept so fucking much. And Collie's just like, you know, Brian, are you okay? I'm like, yes, I'm fine. But now I get to sleep forever. So yeah,
I know you like your sleep, man.
you've been in team houses with me, dude. You're like, is that guy literally dead or what? But BSJ even whines in an attractive man. Dude, there's this one guy in chat that's being really weird right now. I'm not going to lie. So
those people come and go way too frequently.
So, Monkeys, did you watch the best of one qualifiers today or the tiebreakers for the upper division?
I watched what I could. I visited my grandmother earlier, so I missed the EG Undyne game, but I watched the EG Quincy and Quincy Undyne. Oh my, Quincy slapped Undyne so hard. Oh my God, that was just a beating.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
After the interview with Moon like a week or two ago, Collie and I were like super on the let's go Undyne train, like fuck yeah, like, you know, that was before they beat Quincy Crew for forcing the tiebreakers in the first place. And today it was like I got blue balled. Okay. Moon Meander blue balled me. All right. I was so ready to just like go crazy that Undying upset either EG or Quincy Crew. And they just went to the major. And then they just looked terrible today. I was like so sad. Like the games are both stomps. Like, you know, I'm not taking anything away from EG and Quincy Crew. I can tell EG brought the biz today. I think the coolest thing about EG though, the casters kind of pointed it out, but the way they played similar lineups against both teams, where Undying is more like relies on forced errors, while Quincy Crew is more just like up in your face aggressive. They played like really passive against Team Undying. Like the first game, this kill score, I think was like 6-1, 20 minutes into the game or something. Like they just outfarmed them and outmaneuvered them on the map and basically never fought them. And then they had tied DP and just walked down a lane at one point. And then against Quincy Crew, they were like all over the place, constantly ganking Quinn. The way they picked on him with crit as well as Abed was fucking sick. I don't know if you guys saw that, but like there were a few times where I just could not believe they went on Quinn. And then he died by like 5 health. Like, yeah, he was literally 20 HP ticking off to the last Earth Spirit ultimate tick. Yeah. And I was just like, dude, I was impressed. I was like, damn, that is some sick fucking Dota right there.
I think EG definitely showed that they're starting to come together and like they're really going to be they're going to be the solid lineup that everyone has kind of expected from them for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Quincy Crew is like, I think they're a phenomenal team as well. Like they definitely proved that in this run. And, you know, I do think it was a bit of a fluke them losing to Undying, because like I do think Quincy is the like, you know, more stable and better team. But I meant in the best of three, not in the tiebreakers, obviously. But I think, you know, them bringing out SVG Enigma 2 games in a row was just like a bit too slow for Quincy, and then, like, you know, they weren't playing like normal good Quincy Dota. I mean, hell, even in the BO1 against Undying, there is that one fight on the Radiant Tri-Camp where Yawar just like blinked in and died, and then it caused a chain reaction of a couple other deaths, and then Yawar bought back after they had like a 21k gold lead for the whole game, and then it triggered like Quinn to buy back and like SVG, I think, to buy back as well. And then it's just like, whoa, what just happened? Like, Quincy can actually just lose the game now at this Rosh fight. And, you know, that was super unlike Quincy as well, because I feel like Quincy are typically a lot more just like stable and just, you know, they just take victories in a very clean manner. But that when that happened, I was just like, what is happening? Like, this is so just weird.
Like, best of ones to go to a major, that'll do some shit to you.
Yeah.
Like Jenkins during the draft or like between game segments was talking about how like the worst TI or the worst Dota of the entire year is played at TI, and it's pretty accurate. Like the amount of pressure that you can see it, like Dota's like this clinical game, and then you throw all these fucking outside factors in, and we've talked about it, you know, when it comes down to your own mindset going into a pub, when it comes down to like how your day was. Just imagine now you've got like millions of dollars weighing down on you, hundreds of thousands of people watching. It's like, this is as close as they've been, really anybody, to that a level of pressure in a long time. Like last year, you know, after what? When was March? Was that the last qualifier? Was March last year?
Yeah. It was like March for the LA major that never even happened.
Yep, exactly. I know. I got to fly out and then get sent home and then get flown back because they did like the online league or whatever. Luckily, at that point, I was still in Arizona, so the flight was only like an hour. But
better than the, you know, 10-hour flight or whatever.
Hey, you know, the nice thing about the 10-hour flight was it was a nice lap. You know, I got to do it all in one day. That was hot.
So good.
It was fucking awesome.
I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
So one topic I wanted to talk about was, so, you know, we've had our fair share of discussions about the NA region, but let's go into the major. Let's like take some preliminary thoughts on, we got two slots, right? A lot of people kind of don't respect the competitive nature of NA in regards to, you know, outside people tend to not, but I saw some good Dota. So what I'm saying is I'm going to be optimistic and say that I think EG and Quincy Crew could be contenders for, I don't necessarily say winning. Maybe EG could. I think Quincy Crew could be like a top eight, maybe top six team. So if, what do you think is the bare minimum that it would take between the two of them to get us a third slot in the next DPC league?
I think EG top three. No meme. I know they're known for their third.
My top three, you mean, but specifically third, yes.
But I mean, honestly, I truly believe Quincy have, you know, the time as a team and the experience to honestly make like a top four run. I know a lot would have to come together for them to like be able to actually do that, but I think that one of the biggest strengths I think that NA Dota has is that we value lanes like a lot with our heroes, and we value like a strong laning phase to kind of snowball into like into the mid game and like, you know, to like play really, really quick off of a good laning stage. Like you can watch a lot of EU Dota, and they will just pick heroes that in their mind is just good for the game. And you know, they will have like really weak laners to an extent, and they'll just kind of like get I think there are some flaws to that mentality when it comes to Dota, and I think Quincy definitely could have like a really good run when it comes to the major.
Well, the thing about it is, right, is that if not everyone all ins the lanes, then you can afford to pick slightly weaker laners in order to complement your game plan better.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it's kind of like I don't the beautiful thing about majors and international competition is you really get to see all of these different play styles and regions actually finally clash, right? And we haven't seen that in over a year. So it's gonna be really interesting to see how each region kind of adjusts and, you know, starts to understand each region. Because, like, I think NA is going to be a really fast region because, again, we value good, strong lanes that are, like, aggressive and kill a lot, like, so highly. Every single team in NA, like, values that. But then, like, you look at EU and you don't see that as frequently, honestly.
So you say that, right? You say that they value lanes highly, but I want to make a counterpoint. So today, EG versus Team Undying, because you didn't see this game. Undying's first three picks were Undying, Nyx Assassin, and let me see real quick. It was another hero that didn't offer all that much team fight. But the only thing they saw, okay, it doesn't show up on the fucking schedule. But the only thing that EG saw was basically three heroes with no team fight. But they did also see an Undying, and they had a Death Prophet first rounded that could be flexed. You're like, okay, maybe this Death Prophet, that's good. Maybe they'll put the Death Prophet offlane now against the Undying. And they straight up picked Tidehunter. They just picked Tidehunter. And I was I was like, oh no, they had Beastmaster. The opponent had Beastmaster. So that's why they picked Tide. They saw Nyx Assassin, Beastmaster, Undying, and they just picked Tide. And so the funny thing about this was, you say they prioritize lanes. They just straight up rotated the Death Prophet away from offlane to put a Tidehunter against an Undying. And I was just like, I guess there's a Rubick instead of a Nyx. Sorry, guys. Sorry, forgive me. And I guess that even says more about the fact that they picked Tide into Rubick. But the thing was, he had like a god-awful lane on Tidehunter. One thing I thought that was hilarious was that he was like gushing for creeps in the first two waves. Like literally every CS he got was a gush. And then he had no mana, and he kind of just let Dubu solo kill him. Like, he wasn't even in range of the Ursa, because they ended up picking Ursa, like, you know, lane dominator, shit on the Tidehunter.
Yeah.
But he just let Dubu solo kill him, and I was like, damn. Dude, Ice is crazy. He just gets, like, 8 CS from gushing, runs out of mana, and just feeds to an Undying, and it looks so dumb. Like, all Dubu did was just decay him to death. He didn't even, like, hit him or anything. He literally just decayed him to death. And the cool thing about that I saw, because I always thought we prioritized lanes too, was that inevitably they just had Death Prophet tied, and with this Ursa Beastmaster Undying lineup, they literally just looked at them. You know, they just looked at them as they marched down lanes. And I was just like, I was very surprised, because like you said, NA is usually like, how do we shit on these guys in the first like 5 or 10 minutes? And they chose to do this and play really patiently, which for me is a good sign. Because that's sign of like not NA. And I'm saying that I think you need a little bit of other regions' playstyle deal with their playstyle.
For sure. I don't think it's gonna be like I don't think there's gonna be like a single region that is just gonna absolutely dominate with their playstyle, right? I think there's gonna be a lot of adjusting as these teams kind of meet.
This is their first international competition in a long time.
Exactly. So like there's gonna be so many like ideas and so many heroes that like you know teams haven't really played against that much, and you know maybe they're gonna play against these other regions and be like, wow, I really didn't know Treant Protector was just that good right now. Like, I don't, it just has like a random hero idea, but like, it's just,
don't spoil it for the major monkeys.
I don't know. It's just going to be a very good, or like a fun time, honestly, because like, I love it when you see teams like grow and evolve over the course of a major. It's just like, it's one of the most cool things in Dota, because you just get to see like you get to see how each team's mind is working and how they're, you know, progressing as a team. And like you know how many conversations they're having every single day after they play these other regions. And they're just like, how are we going to counteract like this aspect of their gameplay? And like, how are we going to get to the mid game reliably? Because I mean, like against Quincy, that's one of the most like struggling things ever. I mean, you saw how they played against the Undying in the BO1. Like they just ran over Undying. They were like 13-0 at like 10 minutes in the game. They were just destroying Undying. And I remember when I was on the Zoomers, like sometimes we would play against Quincy Crew, and it's like if you don't counteract, like sometimes they just play so hyper aggressive. Like they'll bring your war to the mid lane on the 5-minute siege creep at level 5. They'll have like 5 heroes at your tier 1 tower. They're like, and basically if you don't bring 5 heroes there, you just get shit on and you lose your mid tower with the 5-minute siege. And it's like, well, shit. like now you don't have the most important tower in the game because you didn't read like that one really quick move from them. And it's just
crazy,
like,
lack of foresight on any specific thing. Suddenly the game is just blown open. I just want to interrupt you and say that, like, you had to predict that they could possibly do that. Not that they're going to do it, but that they could do it. Otherwise, you're just fucked. Like, if you're late to react to something, suddenly your mid tower is gone.
Yeah, and it's just like, again, not to say like no other region like does that or doesn't do that or, you know, whatever, but it's just like I think there are a lot of quirks like that for every major team from every region. And, you know, we're going to see so many ideas. And it's just like, I don't know, BSJ, I'm just excited. Like I'm really, really excited just to watch the evolution of the meta again, because like it's just been so long, and I thrive off of this shit.
It's been
really
so stale, dude. It's been so stale because like you're just, it feels like when I watch EU, even though the games are great, it's the same fucking play style every single game. I watch NA, it's the same play style every single game. It's like, yeah, they do it with different heroes. Yeah, it's creative. Yes, it's still good Dota. I enjoy watching it. But like you said, I want to see some fucking, you know, NA versus EU. I want to see some China versus EU. I want to see SEA versus NA. I want to see Ice, you know, take down his own region. You know, the thing is that the cool part about international Dota is you get to see new and improved strats because you have to, like you said, adjust because you're like, okay, I think this will work, but you haven't actually had the time to like iron it out or, you know, perfect it. You only had like 5 scrims, for instance, against a specific region where you're like, okay, like, will this work against that type of thing, because you're like, okay, we have a problem, we have to address it, what heroes in our pool are capable of doing that. And sometimes like you'll bring a strategy nobody was ready for, and then it takes them like a day or two to adjust, and then they've got it. Sometimes like you end up just seeing these Arc Wardens. I remember at the SCA major, the Malaysia major, where Arc Warden was like never picked prior to the tournament, and suddenly he's first banned every single game because nobody could figure out a way to beat it. That's what I'm looking forward to. And I think you and I and everyone else, we're on the same page, man. We haven't had a fucking LAN in, you know, more than a year. So that's the best part about it. And the cool thing is, absolutely, for me, I'm not even going. So I haven't been. This is the first major LAN that I wasn't even involved in the slightest. So I get to watch it from home, and I'm excited to do that. We are sponsored by Prediction. We're partnered with Prediction, and a part of that is that we also are partnership with Ignition. So check out this ad I'm going to lovingly play for all of you.
Join Ignition Casino, your go-to destination for the best online poker, table games, progressive slots, and much more. Oh. Sign up with the promo code IGNITION777
and
deposit
BSJ
using Bitcoin to get 25 free spins on 777 Deluxe.
Wait, I'm sponsored by somebody who gives Bitcoin, so if you use the Bitcoin, you get 25 free spins? Holy shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just like, yeah, I don't know, man, especially... Like I feel like so many teams are going to be bringing like everything they have to this major too, because it's like, again, as we said, it's been so long. Like all these players and teams, like they're so hungry for any type of validation right now. So everyone's going to just like, they're going to be really putting their thinking caps on and being like, all right, how are we taking games off of each other here?
So I think I'm going to go to the sad part of things, okay? So my question for you is, let's take into account, I would say the three, I don't want to be disrespectful to the other teams, but the three legit contenders in NA going into the start that either in Undying's case came so close, or in the case of Zoomers and Sad Boys kind of underperformed and really had no shot ever since like the first 3 or 4 weeks. What are your thoughts for like them moving forward? You know, like what are these teams, like what are they aiming for in the second season? Like, do you think they're ever capable of beating Quincy Crew and EG? Like they look like they're just in a different league, like a step down.
I mean, they're like, I don't know, for the Zoomers, for example, I mean, I played with that team for a long time, and I at least in my mind, I think the Zoomers, like, they're really good at like playing fast Dota and like you know kind of like taking an early lead and then just kind of running with that lead and just winning off of like, you know, a 20k net worth lead at 25 minutes in the game.
Gunner and playing some hero with a bajillion buttons that he pushes.
And I mean, hell, we even saw that in game two against EG. Like, I mean, the Zoomers took a game off. I know that was EG's literal first match back or whatever as like finally a full roster in like a year's time or something. But like they did take a game off EG. So like, it's not like there was no hope there or anything. And it was a really convincing game.
I
don't
think they're like eons worse. I'm just saying it looked like every series, the top two or three teams had like an upper hand. It felt palpable as well.
I think the Zoomers' main issue is like they do like to play really fast and like, you know, just kind of almost disrespect the enemy team, I would say. Like that's kind of like their style.
There's no way there's three heroes up this hill.
Yeah. Like basically. But like, I think they kind of do it to almost a fault. Like they need the discipline to kind of like reel them back a bit in games and just kind of like they need a voice just being like, all right, guys, like we just need to play clean Dota for the next like 10 minutes. And if we do that, you know, we're just going to win. Like, no diving tier twos into their tier three towers or diving tier threes into their tier fours and losing Aegis without getting BKB off or like. You know, I mean, the amount of times I've seen Sammy Boy die with a cheese and a BKB off cooldown in his inventory is like too many times to count. Or like Gunner literally blinking into the tier four towers alone and just dying twice with an Aegis because like he wants to just style on the enemy team. I don't know, man. Yeah, like, and that's just for high grounding. Like, there's definitely a bunch of other aspects of their play, like, you know, walking up a high ground alone or something just because they're like, there's no way they're gonna be here, and then they're just there and then they die, and it's like, well, you know, that slows down your game by a minute and a half. So like, you know, you really have to clean up those.
Do you think that's like something that they want to change though? Like,
I mean,
I talk to Gunner a lot, not about like his team specifically, but like the way they view Dota, they're all about like balls to the wall, like high risk, high reward. Is that like a strategy you think ever works in competitive? Like, what? Like, I would compare their playstyle similar to Thompson, right? They're just literally running in your face. They ignore creeps. Like, you'll see Gunner not hit a creep for like 6 minutes. And my question is, like, what's the difference? You know, like, is it just less refined? Does their playstyle eventually work, or do they need to tone it down? You know, like,
I mean, the thing about Thompson is he just reads the map correctly, like every time, pretty much. And like, I feel like you rarely see him just like go do a play without like, I mean, sure, he'll have some like weird and funny deaths, but like he always gets like a return kill for it or something, you know. Like he's always taking the enemy team down with him, and like he's, you know, at the enemy tier three towers while doing it as well. So like he's dragging the entire enemy team away from like, well, it was on in the past, now it's mid one. But I mean, they definitely, I don't know, that team, I think they really, really liked OG's playstyle on like TI8 and TI9, like all of the players did. And they really want to mimic it like as much as possible. But I think there's just a, you know, you do still have to realize it's Dota, and like there is a time to just like chill out, and like, you know, like you have to be intelligent about the aggression.
The problem I have with Dota, like as a game that makes it so frustrating on top of everything else, is like, so I think OG's way of playing when they win TI, it doesn't necessarily work in tier two Dota. Like, it has to be done in a very specific way. It's either a play style that works at the absolute highest level, or it feels like it doesn't work at all, you know, like anywhere mm-hmm. else. And so that's why I feel like a lot of times also when OG puts like one replacement player in, or throughout the course of the year, maybe they're not as refined, you know, they didn't have a boot camp until like 2 or 3 weeks into the DPC. They just look underwhelming in comparison to their performance. It doesn't seem like a play style that can dish out consist like a secret type performances. Like you're not going to win 3 or 4 major tournaments in a row. You're not going to all that kind of stuff. So it's like, in theory, it's like great. They won 2 TIs, but I don't know if it's the best play style to mimic. I think you can learn a lot from what they do, but mimicking it.
See, it's so weird because it's like, I don't you can talk about playstyle so much in Dota, but it's just like it's so hard to actually say like what is, you know, the objective best playstyle in Dota, because you know every single Dota player, like, they have their own thoughts and like the way they view the game, and like all of that kind of comes into the playstyle that you want to make for your team. Because like, you know, I personally know that for Gunner, it's like he sees a power rune, he wants to run at the run on the other side of the enemy side of the map and like just find heroes constantly, because he just feels like the strongest hero in the game. But then, you know, I know there's other mid players who, you know, they just want to, you know, farm their first item more reliably, and then when they hit that item, and then like when they hit that first item timing, then they feel really strong, and like that's what kind of like instigates them to, you know, run around the map a lot. But like, you know, with Gunner, you'll see games on him where he'll be like Invoker and he'll just have phase boots earn for 20 minutes into the game, because he's literally been nonstop running around after he got phase boots and earn, and he just, that, you know, none of the rotations are working out as planned, and he's just not getting the gold that like he really wants, and Gunner turns into like the third support almost, while the safe laner and off laner kind of become like the more two cores on the team. And like I don't know, it's just there's so many, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to flame Gunner or anything. I'm just kind of like explaining.
No, we're spitballing. I want to be clear. Like there's always going to be biases, whether or not we like a particular playstyle or whether or not we are the fondest of particular players. But at the same time, I think, you know, you have to openly criticize or, you know, praise a certain playstyle. And I think that there's a reason why, for instance, that the Zoomers, you know, got fourth in the group. Like, are they obviously a contender? Could they potentially take games, which they did, off of the top tier teams? Yeah, or at least, you know, EG and Quincy crew. Yeah, so it's like, but at the same time, it's not there yet. So we're just kind of discussing, why is it not there? Yeah. So one team I didn't get to watch very much was Sad Boys. Did you watch them at all? I didn't get to see, like, what went wrong for them.
I watched them here and there. I watched them when they were like, I watched them when they played Zoomers and Black and Yellow, I think, were the only two times that I watched them. And they honestly didn't really look very strong against either team.
Like, was it just an overwhelm? Like, was it the strategy, you feel like? No strategy? Like, no particular playstyle? Because, like, you look at that roster, by the way, that's like four TI players and DNM, who DNM's like rank 10 or something. So,
I mean, I don't really know, because it's like when I watch that team, they group up as five, like almost to a fault. Like I feel like they miss out and stuff on the map a lot.
Like just general efficiencies.
Yeah. But then like, but there are definitely games where I see them play like more split, and they look a lot better, and like they play a lot quicker because of it. And because like they're not quite literally putting five heroes like on the enemy tri-camp and just sitting there as five heroes. And then like I see other games where, you know, Snake King splits off, or like Fear, he's on Juggernaut and is actually splitting the map like more so, and you know, they're kind of getting more map control because they're not just literally sitting five heroes in the same place, and they look a lot better, but they don't do it consistently. And I don't know exactly where that comes into play, because I know there's a lot of strong voices on that team between PPD, Snake King, Moo, maybe Fear to an extent. I feel like Fear is probably a bit more timid compared to the other three, but I feel like I feel like there's just a lot of different ideas on that team, and it's kind of like a toss-up on which players' ideas kind of like show.
Now, let me tell you, play. I have a hard time imagining PPD and Snaking on the same team. Like, I have a really hard time imagining that. I feel like that's, like, don't take anything away from either individual, but the two of their personalities clashing, I feel like would be a real problem. Like, I saw that roster originally, I'm like, individually strong players. I don't know if that like mesh of personalities is going to work. I don't think it's going to work.
I mean, for sure. And it kind of made me think of when PPD and Snaking ended up on the same team. It kind of reminded me of when I played with Eternal Envy and Snaking, and the, you know, kind of a similar concept there of like E and Snaking. They just both have such strong views of Dota, and like they will just be so adamant about like really different ideas in Dota, and just like, and you know, yelling
different things.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, so sometimes they would just like put their differences aside and just like listen to each other in game, and you know, you would end up just having everything come together properly. But there would be other times where like both of them would just want to do different things so hard in game, and it would just be like, I don't know what you want to do. Like, there's too many calls going on. Like, what?
I want to respond real quick on the subject to somebody in chat who says PPD is a TI winner, so Snaking has to listen. Let's just act like these are actual human beings instead of robots, and that you can't just change somebody's personality and say, hey, man, all you got to do is just listen. Like, that doesn't fucking work, guys. That doesn't fucking work. So I just want to be clear that, like, I love the people that just say, yeah, just do that. But, like, they're strong personalities. Like, they're confident in the way they view the game. If they view in different perspectives, like, if they're stubborn, that's, like, a character trait that's not going to change from Dota player or, like, from Dota team to Dota team. That's the problem is it's something that can be worked on. I think I've been stubborn in the past, like, very stubborn when I get on teams about the way I view Dota. And sometimes it takes multiple losses or more than that to get me to back down. But, and that's something I've tried to work on. But at the end of the day, like, if you have two stubborn players, that ain't going to get fixed in one DPC fucking 6-week league. That ain't going to, that's a personality thing.
And also to respond to that guy's comment is like, yes, don't get me wrong. PPD and Fear are like TI winners, but it's like, I think what viewers really underestimate is just how much Dota is still constantly evolving, like every single year, and how much better your average player is getting every single year. Like, it is insane how good your average player is nowadays compared to like 5 years ago. It is absolutely insane. And like Ice Frog makes sure that the meta and like the play style or like, you know, the average play style meta changes like consistently. They, like, you will not see two big patches where it's just like, oh, yep, you just 5-man death ball two patches in a row. Like, you really don't see that. Like, one patch is a 5-man death ball, the next patch is you know, your pause four is going to be roaming on mid at 2 minutes, the next patch is going to be a tri-lane meta, the next patch is going to be like, you know, your pause four is a jungler. Like,
let me give you my quick meta update, by the way. This is like something that blows my mind how quickly this changes. Like, a patch or two ago, like major patch or two ago, carries like double bracer, double wraith band, like every fucking game, like double wraith band, wand, and a bunch of laning items. Now, if you look at carries, they try to do as few items as possible and then like treads farming item. You know, like that's pretty much every carry in the meta right now plays that way. And I just think it's crazy how little things like that, like, develop. Like, you just realize eventually, like, okay, if I can't win the lane anyways, if I buy double Wraithband, if I find myself jungling anyway, I guess I'm going to buy just treads. Those are simple things that really nothing in the game changed. Just maybe the heroes that are in meta changed. So, like, the ones that you used to buy double Wraithband against, like Slardar, for instance, isn't a hero right now, at least popularity-wise. It's pretty crazy how these little things constantly change. And that is actually like a view of Dota. Like, am I trying to dominate my lane? Am I trying to just like escape and then go jungle? That itself is like a play style, something every player has an opinion on. And that's like one small factor from one position in a game. Yeah. So I was using that as like, this seems so simple. It seems so small, but that changes from patch to patch. So like you said, like the game is constantly changing. And like, even if I agreed with how you, like, say you and I viewed the game the exact same way a year ago, we may not view it the same way now. Like that, that's just how Dota is. And so a lot of times on teams, that's why a lot of heads clash, personalities don't work. But it's just crazy. It's such a beautiful, complicated, but agonizingly painful game to play sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like, even, you know, there's so many, like, map changes as well that can just change it all. Like, I mean, take for example, the shrine patch. Like, there were two shrines initially, but one shrine was pretty much designated for the mid player, and the other shrine was designated for the offlane player. And safe lanes just they just couldn't compete. Like I would play.
I remember that.
Yeah, I would play in a Abaddon, and I would just like, you know, use all of my mana and health to just do like 500 damage. Then I would go over to the shrine, hit up the shrine, come back full health, full mana, and be like, all right, let's do it again. And you know, safe laners that patch, like you literally would pick heroes I could jungle by level 4 because you did not lane.
You'd pick like the Spectres, you'd pick all the super hard carries that just never laned anymore. Like there was like, if you tried to pick a lane dominator in that patch, it ain't fucking working, man. The other guy got a free regen rune at like 5 minutes into the game. Or, you know, there obviously was the patch where right when they came out, it was 0 minutes into the game that you could use that shrine. Yeah, it was,
it's just like Dota is just ever evolving, and you know, the neutral items that really changed a lot of things too, because like now you reliably want a hero in like hitting jungle camps at 7 minutes so you can get that like initial neutral item power spike and stuff. And like, people think about heroes that can kill neutrals effectively as like a part of the draft now because neutral items exist. It's like, all right, do we have a neutral killer?
Do we have all right, we need a neutral killer.
Yeah, there's just, you know, I don't know. It's just Dota is just so interesting, and I think it's naive to just be like, oh, this person did really well like 5 years ago in Dota. So like, they obviously know everything about Dota. And it's like, well, I mean, you know, PBD, he's taken like multiple year breaks since he won TI. And like, you know, sometimes other people have really good ideas, and like, yeah, it gotta, and, but I mean, that doesn't really defend like the whole strong personality thing on Sad Boys again. Like I know I got kind of off topic there, but it's
we always ramble. That's the state of anything BSJ forever related here. But no, the thing is, monkeys, that you know what I find is a problem this week?
What's that?
I could imagine all the things I would like to talk to you about that I haven't talked to you about yet. And the problem is we've accrued like 3 to 4 fucking weeks of the shit. And I can't, I'm like, oh, that's another thing I want to talk about. That's another thing. But guess what? We've already been going for like 40 minutes. So here's what I'm going to say, monkeys. We say this every fucking week, monkeys. But we're going to do this next weekend. And guess what? We are going to feel like there's not too much to talk about. You know, I know that's crazy. And you know, man, I just want to say that if you feel like talking to me on a Thursday, let's just throw a fucking episode in there, you know? Like, if you don't feel like being on the podcast, you need to say, hey, BSJ, let's hang out on Discord and chill like the bros that we are. And I'll be like, that's a little weird, monkeys, but okay, I'll do it. So I'm just saying that every time you and I get this pleasant, you know, wow, I haven't talked to this guy, and it's kind of nice to talk to a guy, you know, and maybe a pseudo-acquaintance friend of mine. So, but...
I'm an acquaintance. That's kind of messed up, BSJ.
Yeah, I was purposely being awkward with downplaying that one. But no, there's a lot of exciting things. We got a lot of stuff coming up. I'm personally, the fucking roller coaster ride of the qualifiers today. I'm super excited simply to just not be casting 35 hours a week. Even though, you know, casting's fun and all, but overworking is pretty brutal.
That's going to be a fun 6 weeks of just streaming, honestly.
Are you going to be, you know, this is your time to chill out here. Are you going to be streaming daily or what?
I actually was streaming. I streamed every single day in February up until like the 21st.
Yeah,
or something.
I saw that. You're streaming at like 10 a.m. though.
I mean, I had a normal sleep schedule because of my puppies. So like I would just wake up to like, you know, take them outside to like go to the bathroom. And then I'd just be like, well, I'm awake.
Well, here I am.
Let's turn on the stream, I guess. I don't know. That's literally always my outlook on streaming. It's like if I wake up and like I have nothing to do and it's just like, yep, I got 7 hours of free time. Might as well just stream for 7 hours because like I don't know what else to do right now.
That's kind of the gamer life. You know, is there any like Instagram, Twitter photos of these puppies?
On Twitter, I did put some puppy videos and photos out of, you know, Corgi puppies trying to jump through snow that's hot, like taller than them and stuff. So
okay, guys, just letting you know, you may have to hit up the socials for monkeys there. It sounds like it's definitely worth our time and levels of cuteness. Collie's more of a cat person, but you know, I think
she
appreciates some derpy dog stuff too. I love the corgis. So how old are they? Are they like super, super?
They are. We got them when they were 8 weeks old, and it's been about a month. So they're going on 12 weeks now.
Two of them?
Yep, two of them. And they've already like almost tripled in size. Like it's so weird because like when you're living with the pets, like you don't really notice their growth every day. Yeah. But whenever like my dad comes over or something, he sees the pups and he's like, oh my God, they're so much bigger. And I'm like, are they? Like, really?
Yeah. No, that's you know, it's the same idea with aging. You know, you look in the mirror and you're like, holy shit, that was me 10 years ago. And
then, yeah. So I literally think back to even just like 5 years ago and I'm just like, oh my God, I've just changed so much. Like I swear I was just like, I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with that.
There's probably like a 2 hour long tangent we could take about that specific subject. But, you know, monkeys, I'm going to cut us off here to make sure we have, like, you know, a somewhat consistent timeline of duration of Banana Slam Jarrett podcast episodes, along with the consistency of the fact that we will be doing them because I miss you, buddy. But it was always nice to talk to you. Any final words for your loving fans out there, man?
You know, not really. Just appreciate you all. Hope you're all having a wonderful time and keep on keeping on.
There you go. Thanks, monkeys. Love you, buddy. See ya.
See you, BSJ.
But yeah, guys. Okay, that's it for the podcast. Thanks for watching, and we'll be back to a normal stream. Guys, we are on Spotify and iTunes as well, and it's under Prediction, PREEDICTION, Prediction with two E's. If you do want to find us on, like, you know, just the audio channels.